Welcome to Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We are so glad you decided to join us today. We know you're going to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged by this powerful sermon. Title for our sermon today is Our Secure Salvation. Mm-hmm. Our Secure Salvation. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. Mm-hmm. Again, he started off in verses 1 and 2, telling them who he was. He was an apostle, letting them know, I am justified. I have a right here to bring this letter to you. I'm a special messenger from Jesus Christ, and I've been sent by him to do his work, to bring his word, and I know you are going through a tough time, so let me encourage you with this letter, trying to encourage a group of people who were scattered. They were of the dispersion, and there are different parts of, and you see different aspects of the land in verses 1 and 2 it talks about, and they are dispersed and they're scattered, and he wants to make sure that they, through their persecution, their suffering, and the difficult times they're going through, he wanted to make sure with this letter that he was going to encourage them. And verses 1 and 2, again, are a great encouragement because he's letting them know, hey, I know you're going through a tough time, but this is who you are in Christ. Yeah. And with the last song that we sang, Hold On, Are You Ready, is what he's trying to do as well, tell them, hold on, because Jesus is coming back. And that's something to really be encouraged about and to be excited about. Trust in God. Know there's an inheritance laid up for you. We're going to learn about that a little bit more today. And Jesus is coming back. I don't know about anybody else in here, but we're supposed to be living with a hopeful expectation of Christ's return. Amen. Yeah. We should be thinking about that. We should let that encourage us because we're all going to go through difficult times. We're all going to go through times of suffering, whatever level of suffering that may be. It's all within God's sovereign plan. None of that is outside of what he desires to have happen. People go through difficult times, but he's always given us a way of escape, and his son is coming back again, amen? And he's going to eventually take you out of all of this. Is anybody ready for that today? Yes. Amen. So verses 3 through 5, he's going to continue on. It's a beautiful letter, beautiful letter. Let's read it together. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Let's look at these verses today. Again, he is encouraging them through their difficult times. And if the letter is meant for them, this letter is meant for who? For us. It's meant for me. It's meant for you. So he starts off this, after verses 1 and 2, this section starts off with a doxology. A doxology is a hymn of praise to God. That's the blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed or blessed, however you want to say it. Eulogitos, the English word, we get the word eulogize or eulogy. It means to speak well of someone. When you give a eulogy at someone's funeral, you're speaking. You don't get up there and rip them apart. Say, this guy, I can't believe he did this. You're going to talk well of them. You're going to talk well of them. Inherently worthy of praise. In this case, this Greek word used of God indicates, this is great, indicates praise and adoration on the part of the creature and recognition of the power and prerogatives of the Creator. That's why we want to look at original languages, because it's a lot more than we just read the word blessed. When you read it in its original meaning, it's talking about we are honoring God, we are praising and giving adoration as the creature to the Creator. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spurgeon said, he blesses God because God has so freely blessed us. And he abounds in thanksgiving because he sees that abundant mercy by which believers have been begotten again, born again, made therefore children after a new sort, and so made heirs of an inheritance very different from that upon which we enter by nature, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. What a great way to encourage these people, praising God right from the beginning, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Amen. According to his great mercy, he has caused us. Did you do it on your own? No, it's even telling you again. He has caused us. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. Be encouraged, y'all. You're going through suffering at tough times. But your great God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, has caused you to be born again. According to, Greek word kata, gives the idea that our being born again was provoked by his abundant mercy. Mm-hmm. Provoked. Mm-hmm. He provoked that. Whole process in us of being regenerated, he's the one that provoked it. And notice that he doesn't just say mercy, he says his great mercy. The Greek word great is polis, means great in extent and magnitude. According to his infinite supply of mercy, he caused us. Well, mercy is important to understand because the Greek word for mercy means God's kindness. Get this. The Greek word for mercy means God's kindness and goodwill toward the miserable and afflicted, joined with a desire to relieve them. It's going to mean something to us because we were miserable and afflicted in our sin, and God wanted to relieve us. So according to his, it's not just mercy that we extend towards the poor or toward the oppressed, but God is extending his great mercy toward you and I when we were afflicted in our sin, miserable in our sin. He had a way to relieve us, so he caused us to be born again because he had mercy on us. Somebody say, thank God for his mercy. He had mercy on you by bringing you to salvation. He's telling them, y'all out there, you're suffering in Bithynia and all these different areas, in Pontus and Galatia. You're suffering, but know this, that God loves you so much that even according to his great mercy, his magnified mercy, his infinite supply of mercy, he caused you to be born again. Whew. I don't know about anybody else in here, but man, I know. Not only was I miserable in my human thinking, but I was miserable in my state before God. And I was afflicted with a sin problem that God, by his mercy and according to it, provoked me to salvation. And may I say that because of his great mercy, it should not motivate us, or we should not be encouraged to sin more because now his great mercy is on us. His great mercy should cause us to be even more obedient. Yes. To love him more. To be motivated to love God more because of his great mercy. We ought to wake up every day, and if you're not praying every day or doing something as a spiritual thing that you're doing unto the Lord every day, you need to start looking at, my goodness, because of God's great mercy on my miserableness, he caused me to be born again. I need to be more motivated to love God. And you show your love for God by spending time with him, whether it's in his word or talking to him. Amen. It's not even just about always praying for our needs, but it's just meeting with God and being intimate with him as your child and he your heavenly Father. Grace. What's grace? Well, grace meets man's need in respect to his guilt and lost condition. Mercy references man's suffering as a result of that sin. So mercy saw you in your sinful state. So he saw us there, but God did something about it because God had the resources to do something about it. Aren't you glad that God caused you to be born again? Amen. You are here today if you're born again because God caused you to be born again. Amen? Praise to the God and Father for his great mercy. Amen. So, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. Born again. Anageneo is the Greek word. Means to cause to be changed as a form of spiritual rebirth. Means to produce again, be born again, born anew. Within that word, that Greek word, it means to have one's mind changed so that he lives a new life and one conformed to the will of God. That's all wrapped up in that phrase, born again. Changed mind with the desire to be conformed to the will of God. So if somebody's really born again, their mind will have been changed. I immediately started noticing the things that came out of my mouth. And I knew that I wasn't the same person again anymore. Amen? In the aorist tense in the Greek, it points to a past completed act. It's been done. You've already been born again. It speaks of regeneration as a definite historical act accomplished once and for all. So you were born again one time for all time. Amen? It's a definite historical fact accomplished once for all. God caused it. It's done. And I wrote in my notes, hallelujah. Amen. God caused it. It's done. Hallelujah. Amen? So Peter pictures us as dry, shriveled, and dead in sin until God, in his great mercy, instilled his principles of new life in us. Glory to God. He's trying to encourage them, and you ought to be encouraged. I was so excited about preaching this today because it has been encouraging me all week long, and I know it's going to encourage somebody in here and who you are in Christ. Amen? Amen. And the moment we begin to connect with who we really are, what he's really done, it's mind altering. It's mood altering. It's emotional altering. Amen? How can you stay in the funk if you know he's brought you out of the funk? And he has set you. You're going to learn. We're not even there yet. There's some good stuff coming. So we sprout into new life. Can I say to anybody in here, if you're going through a season of drought, the Word of God says that your leaves will still be green. Amen? Planted by rivers of living water, growing in grace and a knowledge of your Savior. Amen? So he's continuing to encourage them, you have been caused to be born again. One theologian made this point, and I want to read this to you. He says, we live in a culture which has taken some biblical words and used them in a way that redefines and cheapens them so that they no longer mean what the Bible means. But they seep back into the vocabulary of Christians with their devalued meaning. Take the term born again. The media uses it to describe anyone who makes a comeback or gets a fresh start in life. And so it's not surprising when over 50% of Americans say that they're born again Christians. They mean that they had some sort of religious or emotional experience that resulted in a fresh start in life. It may have involved praying to Jesus or inviting them into her hearts, quote unquote, but in most cases, they have no idea what the Bible means by being born again. To be born again is for God to have shown his great mercy to you in your state of miserableness and affliction in your sin, separated from God the Father, and in his great mercy, he regenerated through the power of the Spirit your heart to faith, to believe and trust in Christ as your Savior. Amen. And it had nothing to do with you. That's how much God loves you. So according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to, or implied there is into, a living hope. You ever read that and never really thought what it meant? Come on. I have. He has caused us to be born again into a living hope. The word into indicates the result of our new birth. So our new birth results in this now living hope. So he's given us a living hope. It's the engineering principle, energizing principle of our new life. Living normally is a verb for all you English majors, but here he's using it as an adjective to describe the dynamic aspect of our hope. I have been caused to be born again into, and sometimes the word hope is used for a lot of different things, but let's look at what he really means by hope. It's expressing this living, it's expressing the quality of the hope that we now possess in Christ. It's not just hope. Oh, I hope this happens, or I hope I have a new year. It's in the present tense, which speaks of our hope as possessing an abiding quality. So now that we are born again, we can live in a living hope. It is with us. It abides in us, this living hope. The living hope is never extinguished by outer circumstances. So as you're living your day-to-day life, he has caused you to be born again into a living hope. You live with a hope in the one who lives. So you live above your circumstances. A living hope is never extinguished by outward circumstances. We may feel like it is. I don't have any hope. If you're a born-again believer, you better believe you got hope. And the hope you have is living. God's word remains true regardless of how you feel. Don't let this year, 2017, don't live it by your feelings. Live it in truth.
That's right.
When you woke up this morning, you were already in God's truth because it's belted on you. We are in truth. I don't live by my feelings. My feelings are so flaky. So why is a believer's hope a living hope? It's because our hope is not in a principle, it's in a person. And that person is living because he has been resurrected from the dead. So anybody getting it? Our hope is living. So he's talking to all these people that are suffering and are going through persecution. He's saying, God has caused you. He loves you all so much. No matter what you feel, no matter what you're feeling right now, he has caused, according to his great mercy, has caused you to be born again into a living hope. And they know what it means because they understand the words he's using and what these words imply. A living hope. Because he lives eternally, we live eternally. That's my sure, steadfast, unchangeable, living hope. That no matter what I might be experiencing, I pray this incontrovertible, irrevocable truth from God sink deep in your heart. That he has caused you to be born again into a living hope. And that because your hope is a living hope, the best is yet to come at the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's coming back. So you're going to live with hope that's living through the world you're living in now. But one day, guess what's coming? He's coming back again. Does anybody believe that?
Yes. Yes.
He really is.
Amen.
In the world we live in, whatever word you want to use, turbulent or messed up or crazy, you are truly justified in viewing your future with optimism. I don't care who's doing what. I don't care what the court says. Who's the president? What's this? Who's the mayor? Who's the senator? You have every right to live your life with optimism about the future. Because, number one, God holds it in his hands, and you're his kid. And so he's always going to provide for you. He's always going to be there for you. But he loved you so much that he caused you to be born again because he has such great mercy on you, and he gives you a living hope. Now, no matter what's going on in the world around us, we can view the future with optimism.
Amen. That's right.
He's delivered us from hopelessness.
Amen.
He's given us a joyous expectancy of what God still has in store. Amen. So the Christian hope is not based on mere wishful thinking, but on a certain outcome of blessing that is grounded in the finished redemptive work of Jesus Christ. There's a foundation to this. It's not just, well, I'm just wishing for this. It is built into the redemptive work of Christ. Because of what he did, he's made, this is all not only made it possible, he's made it real. It's here. So according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Through is used to indicate the means of something being accomplished. So he's going to do all this through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. He's caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus rose, all this is taking place. That's why the resurrection is the central defining doctrine and claim of the gospel. Jesus rose from the dead. Paul wrote, if Christ has not been raised, then what I'm doing right here is in vain. My preaching is in vain. Your faith is in vain. In one of his great I Am statements, speaking to Martha on the occasion of the death of her brother Lazarus, he said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. So our being born again is through the means of Jesus Christ's resurrection. We are born again because he rose. All of this happened and stands on the foundation of Jesus' resurrection. Amen? So it makes Easter even a little bit more exciting, doesn't it? The celebration of his resurrection. So according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope, or into a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4. Oh, here we go. Why? Why all this? Well, some versions say to an inheritance. The implication is to obtain an inheritance. To an inheritance, to obtain an inheritance. All of this, great mercy, caused you to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. The Greek word for inheritance, kleronomia, the portion one receives by virtue of birth or by special gift. Y'all have been given by birth, being born again, you've also been given a special gift. Y'all don't realize this, but any of y'all worried about your 401ks and doing this, to that? This, understand this, y'all have an inheritance that's waiting for you right now. That's above and beyond all of that.
That's right.
It's being kept for you. Mm. And it's imperishable. It can't be defiled. It's not going to fade. See these flowers? They looked a little better than this last Sunday, but they're fading. Your inheritance will never fade.
Amen.
And it's being kept for you in heaven.
Amen.
The inheritance being talked about that's being kept for the believer is another name for your salvation. Your future tense salvation. That which is to be ready. That is that which is ready to be revealed. We as believers were already saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. But the consummation of that salvation awaits the return of the Savior. Even so, come Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Your salvation will be fully consummated at his return. You are being saved. You're saved, being saved, but the full completion of it, that's your inheritance. Say, well, man, I want it now. It's not the way it works. You got it now. You're saved, but it's being kept because one day it's completed. That means you have arrived. And he's keeping it there for you.
Amen.
And listen to this stuff. F.B. Meyer writes, yes, it is an inheritance. It is a free gift. And yet we have a right to it. We do not ask for it. We were born again into its blessed privilege. It is kept for us, and we are kept for it. It is reserved in heaven for you. Being kept there for you. But that's not the end of the good stuff we're going to hear today. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. All this is standing on the fact of Christ's resurrection to obtain an inheritance that is imperishable. Means it's incorruptible. Means it will never perish. Absolutely nothing can ruin your eternal inheritance. People have lost everything they've worked for through companies failing, fraud, their inheritance, everything they had in the bank, everything they had in savings. They've lost everything according to this world system. But we as born again people have an inheritance waiting for us that will never perish.
Amen.
Nothing can ruin it. It's also undefiled. It means without contamination, unpolluted, untainted, unstained, unsoiled, without uncleanness or impurity. Defilement has to do with something affecting something from the outside. It enters from the outside. Perishable refers to decay that arises from within. Our inheritance can't be messed with from something from the outside coming in or something from within. It is being tucked in heaven for you, imperishable and undefiled. It's also unfading. It's going to keep its pristine quality, like a flower that would never, ever fade. Imagine these flowers never fading. That's the way your inheritance is. Is somebody excited about that? That's what's waiting for you. That's what he's trying to tell them. Be encouraged, y'all. There's something I know. And what you're going through right now is a light and momentary affliction. It's just a trial. It's just a small blink in the time span of eternity. But even in the midst of this, we can still live in a living hope. But there's something great waiting for us because you've been born again to obtain something.
Amen.
And that's a fulfillment of your salvation. Glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
Man, your inheritance in Christ is going to retain its priceless, unspeakable beauty forever and ever and ever. Amen. It's going and it's coming to you. Even so, come Lord Jesus. It's kept or reserved. The word kept, tereo, means to watch as one would some precious thing. It's being watched over. It's not stuck away in a closet where it's getting cobwebs on it. It's being watched over as it was some precious thing. Being kept for you, being watched over, being looked over, making sure that it's okay. Keeping it from loss or injury. The idea is to observe attentively, to heed, to keep watch over, and to retain in custody. No one can steal your inheritance. No one can come in and mess up. It's being watched over. Your salvation is being watched over. It's being kept for you. Man, it's awesome, man. Some of you, I wrote this question. Do you have your will or any other valuable possessions in a safe deposit box? Or do you have them in some kind of a safe locked box of some sort? Probably most people keep documents like that in a safe deposit box or some type of fireproof locked box. Peter's saying here that heaven is a safe deposit box where God is keeping your inheritance. It's under constant surveillance. How encouraging is that? That's our secure salvation. The children of God are heirs. Let me read you this devotional. The children of God are heirs to a glorious inheritance. It is not an earthly inheritance, but a heavenly. It is not given to them in full possession in this world, but is reserved for them in heaven. They could not receive it here. They have a pilgrimage to make to get it. We're walking through foreigners and exiles and sojourners, briefly settling amongst the people of the world as we're passing through. This land is not ours. It says, but while the inheritance is securely kept for them in heaven, they have the promise of guardianship on the way. We're going to see that next. They are kept by the power of God through faith. All our life in this world is intended to prepare us for receiving our inheritance. Whatever you're dealing with today, whatever your struggle is, it's just preparing you to receive your inheritance. And God wants you to be grateful for your struggle, because He's using it to develop in you something that wasn't there before. Mm. Amen? It says, if we have troubles, we need not be afraid. We may rejoice in them all. If we have dangers, we need not be dismayed. We have the promise of protection. Someday we shall see Christ, whom now we love but cannot see. Heaven is sure for all who are faithful in this world. If we do God's will and do not lose faith, we shall be kept in safety through this world and brought at last home to our inheritance. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance. Now you know what your inheritance is. That is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. And He's got His capstone with this verse, verse 5. Who, that's you, by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So not only is your inheritance, have you been made born again because He had mercy on your pitiful state in sin, cause you to be born again into a hope that is living, to obtain an inheritance that's waiting for you, that is kept in you for heaven, that's being watched over. There's surveillance cameras making sure nobody gets in there and does anything to it. Then it says, you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The word guarded / protected is the Greek verb phureo, which means while you are here waiting on the fulfillment of your inheritance, you are being guarded by God's power. Guarded. God's power while you're living. You might think, man, I'm going through a tough time. I can't take it. God is still, as you're walking through this pilgrimage, He is going to guard you until you get to your inheritance. In the present tense in the Greek, it emphasizes our need for continual protection. So in this word is built in the understanding that we are in need of continual protection in our struggle in this life, as we await the next life of glory. You're being guarded. You're being guarded.
Amen.
Constantly being kept guarded by the power of God, which will guarantee every believer's final victory. Even if you seem like it's against all odds right now, you got to stand on the truth. And you're being given truth no matter what you may be going through. And again, He's writing this to people that are going through what you're going through, or have gone what you're going through, but they're dealing with severe stuff in their own lives. He's saying, man, He is, even while you're on your way to your inheritance, because He caused you to be born again, He loves you so much that He is promising you that He is going to guard you the whole way by His power. And we got to realize something. The guard on duty is not like a human guard who might fall asleep. He fell to guard us from the enemy. We need to refresh our minds regarding the guard who's protecting us until the last time. God is our guard. His power is guarding you as you take this pilgrimage through life. Peter's point is that we're going to make it to heaven Hear this, no matter what trials we experience here, so hangeth thou in there. You're going to make it. If you are born again, you are going to make it. You're on a pilgrimage. You're going through things that are purposefully there to change you, but you're being guarded till you get to your inheritance. Man, that's encouraging to them, and this is encouraging to us. Who? That's us, by God's power, are being guarded through faith. We're being guarded through faith. We're being guarded through faith. In other words, this protection is God's response to our faith in Christ as our Savior. And the thing is, he even did that. He's the one that provoked all that. You didn't wake up one day and go, I'm going to get saved today. He did all of it. The Spirit of God regenerated your heart to faith in Christ. He even did that. And now you're being guarded through your faith. Because of your faith in Christ, all this is going on. Our faith lays hold of the power, and this power strengthens our faith, and thus we are preserved. You may feel like you are being beat up and down. You may feel like you have been beat up coming into the first, maybe the last month of the year, into the first week, you've somewhat. But you know what? Man, get a hold of yourself and start living out what this says.
Amen.
Amen. I say that to all of us. Hangeth thou in there. You're being guarded now.
Amen.
For something that's, my goodness. We are human beings with the little finite brains who cannot comprehend what really is waiting for us. Glorification.
Yes.
Glorified bodies.
Yes.
Everything is pristine.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Waiting for you. Amen?
Amen?
No more bad backs or bad this or funky that. Everything is going to be right. It's the greatest time of chiropractic medicine that the world has ever known. Because that moment comes, everything's going to get lined up right. No crooked backs up there. No discs that are compressed. It's all going to be, you're going to get taller. You're going to, everything. It's going to be awesome. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith. Kind of talked about this. He's going to repeat it again. For a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The purpose or the result of our protection. That's the word for. For a salvation. It's going to protect you through your faith. Guard you. Protected by God's power for a salvation that's going to be ready to be revealed in the last time.
Mm-hmm.
Revealed means literally to remove the cover from.
Mm-hmm.
To make manifest. To reveal a thing previously secret or unknown. In other words, in front of everybody and to everybody, everything that maybe have been hidden from them, who you are in Christ, your salvation, he is going to reveal to everyone your salvation and who you are. It's going to be revealed. The world does not understand who we are as believers, nor the future glory that we're going to experience. If you're not a believer, and some believers don't even understand it, you need to understand the world will never understand the way you think and the way you act and what you're believing for. And when you grab a hold of the understanding of your future inheritance, they're never going to be able to comprehend that because their minds are not now in this fallen, radically corrupted state. Their minds can't ever grasp that. But to them, it's going to be revealed who you are. So in the tough times they're going through, he's even saying, hey man, hold on, press on. I know you're going through a tough time, but eventually everyone's going to see who you are to me. One day, it's all going to change. One day, it's all going to change. So that's our secure salvation. Peter's encouraging them, and he's encouraging us that through our tough times, our salvation is secure. It's kept in heaven for us, being guarded through our faith, but all according to his great mercy, he caused us to be born again. And while we're living here, we're being guarded, but we're living in a living hope. Waiting for us. My salvation is waiting for me. You're saved, but you're being saved, but the consummation of it is your inheritance. It's never going to fade. It's never going to be contaminated. So rejoice today.
Amen.
Rejoice in your tough times. Yes. Rejoice in what you're going through. Yes. We can never figure out why God allows, why this goes on or that, but rejoice in your life because your God is with you in the furnace.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
That's our secure salvation. So let's pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Sermons by Brad Tuttle. We pray this sermon blessed you, encouraged you, inspired you, and challenged you in your walk with Christ. Thank you for being with us, and come back and visit us anytime. God bless you.